Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm your host, Elizabeth Gordon. Thank you for joining us today for more about learning how to succeed with style. I've got a wonderful guest for you. On the show today, we have Mireille Giuliano, who is the author of the New York Times bestsellers, French Women Don't Get Fat and French Women for All Seasons. And she's here today to talk about her latest book, Women Work and the Art of Savoir Faire. I probably said that wrong. I don't speak French at all, so I'm not even going to pretend that I can. But Mireille, welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm delighted to be here, too.
Now, you're just in town for a media tour because you live in New York and Paris, correct?
Yes.
And I enjoyed reading your book. You've certainly built a wonderful business success lifestyle for yourself. It sounds like you really took some time to figure out what you were most passionate about and then brought that to the business world, as opposed to trying to fit into a business box and then create a lifestyle around that. And I love that because that's really a lot of what I talk about as being a chic entrepreneur, that philosophy of building your business around your life. So tell me, how did you get there? Because so many people do it in the opposite way and end up not being happy with their career. How did you get where you are today in business?
Well, I would say, first of all, I follow my passions. And although when I was young, I thought languages were my passions, then I discovered that actually food, wine, and travel were my passions. So I switched gears. And that means taking risks. But taking risks, as I say in the book, if you know what's the worst thing that can happen, you won't be afraid to take risks. And I was, of course, a bit lucky too, and that helps. But you can make your own luck and make your own opportunity. It's actually the ultimate savoir-faire, which means to know how to grasp opportunity, to have the experience and the competence to know what to do in a given situation.
I love that definition, and you give, you know, a couple of different definitions of savoir-faire in the book, kind of the art of knowing what to do, how to do it, how to live life right, and how to do business right. And the book is just packed with a ton of great tips and information, and I love all the stories as well. So I definitely encourage everyone to check out the book in bookstores now. One of the things that you mention is the idea that life happens in episodes. And I found this to be a very interesting philosophy because, like you said, you started out kind of down one path and then said, okay, that was the end of episode one. Now let's move into, you know, the next one. How do people recognize that pattern in their life and sort of embrace that kind of a philosophy?
Well, it's interesting because when I mentor a lot of young women, you know, I'm kind of amused or amazed or both when a 22-year-old tells me, well, in 25 years, I want to be that. And I say, well, that's all fine, but, you know, life doesn't work like that. So why don't you take a short-term look at what you want to do in the next 5 years, maybe, or 3 years, and work from there? And so often, you know, our passions change. What you might loved in your 20s might be very different than what you love in your 30s or your 40s. And it also has a lot to do with the people you work with. If you, you know, I have a chapter that said if you don't have the right boss, fire your boss. In a way, if you work for a company where you have no respect or you don't enjoy yourself, it's time to move on, and that's fine. You know, there will be opportunities, but you have to be ready for the next one and to really know, and it's about knowing thyself, what you want to do with your life, because we spend a lot of hours working, so we should try to have something that gives us pleasures and gratifications and where we can learn and grow and move on.
Right. I think it is a lot about understanding who you are. And I love how you say, you know thyself, whatever it is, you need to recognize it and exploit it. Be the person you are and work with what you have. And I find that a lot of times people are trying to, you know, conventional wisdom is don't be the person you are, be the person they want you to be. Be the person that everybody else is looking at you to be. But it seems that when you really get, and I know early on in my career, I struggled with that. And I love how you also say, you know, sometimes your talents can mislead you because you're good at something. So people say, oh, keep going in that direction, do that. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait, this isn't really what I want to be doing. Sure, I was good at it, but what about who I am? So how can people figure out who they are and, you know, not sacrifice who they are to the corporate world or to that job or that boss that's pushing them in another direction?
Well, they do have to look deep inside. And I think that's why mentors can be very helpful, especially to young women, because when I give lectures at universities, I can't tell you the number of young women who come at the end and said, oh, you know, my parents want me to do this and my boyfriend wants me to do that. And at the end of the day, it's your life and you have to follow what you really want to do. But that means also preparing for it, you know. It doesn't come on a silver platter. So you have to get whatever it takes to get there, the education, the reading, the preparation, the sacrifices. And if you're really passionate about it, you will, and of course not being afraid to take risks, because one of the things that young women, I would say the one word that comes up again and again in discussing jobs and careers with young women is fear.
Absolutely. I just had a conversation with one of my clients last night, and I said, you know, why haven't you done this? And she said, because of fear. Elizabeth, that's it. I'm scared. Yes. So I see a lot of women running up against that too. I think it's easier for boys because they were raised to kind of go after fear.
Of course.
Put a helmet on and run into your friends as hard as you can. And women weren't taught to be aggressive like that. How can we get more comfortable with diving into a scary situation, with getting past fear? Because I think that's a lot of what success is. It's getting past that fear.
Well, it's first of all, managing your expectations, but knowing what could go wrong, you know. I mean, you have to take risk, but you also have to analyze, you know, there are risks not worth taking. So if you know, like when I took a job in New York, you know, what is the worst thing that can happen? Well, in 1 year, I might lose that job because I didn't do it well. So is that the end of the world? You know, what would I do? Well, I still have my background in languages and could find another job. So I'll be maybe without a job for a while, but that's it. So when you know that, I think that helps. And also because we women, as you said, we because of the culture and the way we were brought up, the self-esteem, the confidence is not there. So that's where mentors can be a tremendous help, because sometimes I see young women just need a little push, you know, to what to do next, where to go. Maybe you should go and do some volunteer work. It will open your eyes and give you some strength and, you know, maturity.
So confidence is big. I see that a lot too. Do you think there's a difference between what, because you have a very international view, which I love too, because I do think there's some cultural differences, but did you see differences in French women in their career confidence versus American women, or is that pretty much a global?
Oh no, definitely. I think, you know, the different cultures helped a lot. And to me, of course, French women admire American women in business because we are like 15 years behind. But on another level, we always put our personal life first.
Right.
Quality of life is, you know, we're not ready. I was just in Paris recently, and one of my young friend who had been looking for this promotion for several years, I was told by another friend that she got it. So we meet and I said, wow, great. And she said, I didn't take the job. I said, what do you mean, Julie? She said, no, it's not right for me right now because my spouse is number one. And I was like, here is someone who has worked on it for 3-4 years. And now that she could get it, she doesn't want it. And I said, why is it so? And she said, well, because, you know, it requires 2 weeks a month of traveling. and very long hours, and I'm not just not willing right now. I want to start a family and spend more time with my husband, and that's the key.
That's interesting.
And I had to say bravo, you know, because you give it up, but you don't give it up. You make a choice. At this phase, stage in her life, this is what matters. So, you know, 3-4 years from now, she can start again or do something, get a lateral move, or, you know, she loves what she does, but this was always something she wanted to do. But it's okay because she was single. Now she's no longer single, so 2 weeks of traveling a month is no longer alluring to her.
Right. Well, and that's what you talk a lot about in the book, is this idea that it's very holistic, our life mm-hmm. and our business life, our career life and our personal life. It's all one life. we try and, you know, I think in the past we've been led to this misconception that they're compartmentalized, and there's the you that goes to work every day, and then there's the you that cooks and dinner every night, mm-hmm. and those are different people. The girlfriend you and the business you, but really it's the same you. So what's different that French women seem to know that American women haven't caught on yet about this idea of it being this integrated person, and that taking care of yourself, that integrated you the whole life, is what's ultimately going to propel you to be successful?
Yeah, well, it's probably because, one, we are not where you are, you know. There are very few French women in the boardrooms or at CEOs, and many still have very low jobs. So it's a different equation. But also, in a way, we haven't gone through feminism. So we were never told that staying home and cooking is not very productive or very sexy or whatever. And so the family has always been much more important and much more worth nurturing. And now, of course, with a young generation, it's changing, because young women actually now need to go to work for financial reason, if anything. And so,
right, and that's sort of what happened over here, too. I mean, yeah. Suddenly you needed the double-income family, so it had to be cool that women had good jobs and made money.
And so you have to find the balance, you know, short term, which is not easy, but also long term, how to sustain that kind of equilibrium. Because we really believe that the personal life is key. And if you're happy in your personal life, it will reflect in your working life. And that's not so easy to accomplish. So you have to do something. And especially women who are multitasking and in a way suffering from what I call the 21st century trap, because we think we have it all, but with all the gadgets we are even more stressed, because not only do we have to work and work long hours, but we also have to take care of the family, of the meals and all that, and we have to learn to delegate, and we have to learn to find a balance, to find some time for ourselves and not feel guilty about it. And you know, as human beings, women tend to want to control and not delegate and not complain and do
sure,
it all.
I've got it. I'm taking care of it. I've
not
got
good.
It all under control. And then, like, all of a sudden there's a break and it's like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Because you've taken on too much. You say that it's imperative to make time each day to let go of judgmental thinking and live in the moment. How do you recommend people kind of build this? Because I think this is big, because otherwise it does all build up. So I think mm-hmm. letting go of the stress and anything negative and doing it on a regular basis, how do you build that into your daily life, or how do you recommend people do that?
Well, you know, it's a good question, because you say we're doing too much, and people say to me, well, I don't have the time, you know, to go home and tell my children, give me 15 minutes to relax. And I'm saying there are a lot of things in life we don't control, but we do control our time. So you have to take the time, make the time, and whatever your relaxation is, whether it's, you know, reading a book for 15 minutes or going for a walk or listening to music or taking a bath, or just you need it, and you will feel much, much, much better. And long term, it's actually a necessity, because otherwise you'll always live under stress. And when you're stressed, you know, that also reflects. And your spouse, your partner, your children, your colleague, they all notice it. So it's not very good to sustain that kind of momentum.
Right, it catches up with you. And I thought it was interesting how you say that mediocrity is the enemy of success. And we should not fool ourselves into thinking that good is great. And I think when we put too much on ourselves, we end up, we're just showing up as good or fair.
Yes, or fair, yes.
And not great. Yes. And so what's the difference? And I mean, because you've seen it in your own career and in the careers of a lot of other women as well. What's the difference that you see when a woman actually shows up as great? What's that impact that it has on her company or her career? What does that mean in terms of, you know, dollars and cents or achievements, positions, advancement?
Well, you can see it. You can see a person who is really passionate and committed and engaged. And, you know, statistics say that this only happened 1 in 4. And I think it's a pretty good average, having worked, you know, and hired people for 20 plus years, that too many people work on autopilot, or they're not focused, or because they are not healthy physically, they can't perform well, they can't be productive, or they become, they start coasting, or they give up. So all these things, you know, you have to decide for yourself. But if you really want to be productive and offer something and give something in this world, it's not only about, you know, money and title and status. I mean, we are here for a purpose, and we are here to do something good. You know, every one of us, we are unique. We have unique skills and talents, and we should make the best of it. And that starts with your physical well-being, you know. Eat well, sleep well, take some time off, learn how to relax, walk, you know, do some kind of movements. And that in itself is already a great start to get you into being a better human being, both physically, psychologically, and professionally.
In the book, you talk about getting stuck and then getting past stuck. And you tell some stories about people that were kind of in like a bleak situation. And then within a couple of months, something really great happened. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing was turned around. I mean, there's one woman who's like making 3 times as much money mm-hmm. as what she set out to make. How do people create that kind of, you know, those little miracles or magic in their life where suddenly, you know, they're just kind of hum-ho, and then all of a sudden there's a transformation? What do women need to know in order to create that kind of change?
Well, there are many ways, but I talk about, you know, the ultimate savoir-faire, which is act in self and enlightened self-interest, which is actually not selfish. It's, you know, create your opportunities and know what you want to do with your life, and then, you know, execute. And there is timing for that. You know, this recession, these very hard times, are in many ways, will be for many, many women, a good time, because that's where, in adversity, that's where you really dig into yourself and see things that you might not have seen 1, 2, 3 years ago. And 5 years from now, you will have forgotten the rough 6 months or year, and you'll have another job and other skills and other opportunity that you've been able to create for yourself.
And you've definitely done this in, you know, creating things from scratch. I want to talk a little bit about your time as CEO of Clicquot. Is that how you say it?
Clicquot.
Mm-hmm. Which is the American division of a very celebrated French champagne company. So you came over here and basically grew the brand and the market share from scratch here in the United States, from less than 1% of the U.S. market to more than 23%, which, first of all, sounds like a really fun job working in the champagne industry, but secondly, is a very excellent business accomplishment. So how did you know, what were some of the lessons you took away from that, or what made that possible?
Well, probably the greatest lesson, which came through doing this, because, you know, nobody knew this champagne before, and people are not going to buy something they've never heard about. So it was to create this brand DNA, which we have, because it's a very old champagne company. It had a great woman at the helm, and, you know, so we had to develop the brand DNA, and by doing that, I made the analogy and thought about, well, that's exactly what each of us has to do. you know, develop your own skills. What is it? Develop, make yourself a brand as opposed to a commodity. Because if you're a commodity, you're just like everybody else. Why should I hire you among 30 people if you're not unique? You know, so you have to show me what you can bring to a company. What are your skills? Why? Because the way you look, you act, you speak, you write, I should hire you. And developing your own brand, it's something that doesn't happen overnight, that is not being taught in university or business school. You know, it's something that you acquire with experience and maturity and mentoring. You know, to have a mentor can help you a lot moving into that direction and developing your style, your own brand, so that you can be someone special, because every one of us is special. We just don't know it.
Right. And it's communicating mm-hmm. what is that unique and special quality. And you even talk about communication skill as being the key to a successful career, as well as finding the right mentors. What can people do to cultivate their communication skills to get that out there? Because, yeah, first you have to know, who am I and what's mm-hmm. unique and what am I communicating, whether it's me personally or me, the company, either or, and kind of both intertwined. But then how do you communicate that effectively?
Yes,
what's worked for you?
Communication skills is a huge, complex set of ideas. You know, it's not only the way I speak.
But right, because that's a very small component of it.
That's right.
I mean, all the statistics would say.
Yeah. And today we can see, especially with a mix of cultures, you know, you can see how you can send the wrong messages if you don't communicate well. And that might be your handshake. It might be your eyes, your gestures, your smile. Of course, the way you speak, the tone of your voice, the words you pick. I mean, as a leader, as CEO, I would say, you know, you are watched for every word and every gesture you make. That's probably the greatest lesson. And now you can't please 100%, but you have to be very careful the way people interpret what you're saying when you talk about the strategy, the vision of a company and how you, you know, run the company day after day, walk the walk, you know.
Right.
Be spontaneous and be passionate, but show it, you know. And if you show it, you can have a great team.
What do you think that women bring to the table as business leaders that, you know, men don't? Or where are women strong? And a lot of times, maybe not even tapped into, but where are the real mm-hmm. ways that women can shine as business leaders, you think?
In a huge amount of ways, because we are nurturers and we have compassion, empathy, all these qualities that very often you don't have. And what has been unfortunate, and I've seen it in corporate, not only America, but corporate world, is still so many women feel that they have to behave like men, you know, talk like men, dress like men, swear like men.
Be a workaholic like men.
Exactly.
Tend, you know, put in the 80 hours yes. because that's what the guys are doing.
Yes. Well, you know, my one of my phrases was, you know, one day women are going to rule the world, and when they rule the world, they will make their own rules, because right now we're working in a old-fashioned business world.
I agree.
And it's run by men. So we have adapted, we are flexible and all that, but eventually we'll rule the world. And my punchline is, and when we rule the world, there won't be a meeting at 7:30 p.m.
You know,
because
it.
It's exactly, not necessary.
Exactly, because it isn't necessary.
No. If you're organized, and women are very good at that, you know, we're very good at planning, organizing, making decisions. We've run budget at home, so we know how to do all these things. We're just not recognized for them. But when we will, it will be a different world.
I also like how you integrate the entertainment type atmosphere into the business world, because that's part of it. It's a big part of it.
It's a huge part of it.
Building relationships, yes. Knowing how to have a productive lunch meeting, mm-hmm. knowing how to entertain and be productive in business. What are some tips or things that you can share as far as being entertaining in the business setting?
Well, it's vital because, you know, so many deals are made around the table, and people forget that the table is not only a place to eat. It's a place where you discuss, where you share, where you brainstorm. And knowing how to entertain for business is very, very important, because that's how you develop relationships, you make connections. And so that's also something that's not taught in school. You know, we have young people who today don't know how to behave in a restaurant, what to do, who plays the host and where to place the host and who drinks what and who orders what and who pays the bill and who is allowed to get up in, you know, and leave the
right.
table.
All these little things
that
cues.
Are part of communication skills, really. They are communication skills because they tell you a lot.
Right. Who's in charge? Who has the power in the situation? Being persuasive. How to really run a meeting. I mean, you've seen a lot of men operate at very high levels in business and how things get done. And I think women sometimes don't realize, you know, that a lot of the big deals are done in the golf course or after a scotch, you know, and you need to know how to be in those environments and how to be sociable with people, because that's what people want to do business with, people they like,
yes.
they enjoy spending time with. So I'm sure that's been interesting to see. I mean, is that something you talk about when you're mentoring women?
Oh, very much so. You know, I had one young woman recently who got this great job, and she said, well, I don't drink wine. I have to take all these people out. And I said, you know what? Just fake it. Nobody will notice. Put your lips to the glass. And you know, after a few months, she said, oh, I always laugh inside when I'm in the restaurant because people don't pay attention. And I said, so, you know, if you don't drink, that's okay. It's not a big deal. Just don't bore people with it. Just, you know, pretend, you know, as the saying goes, assume a virtue if you have it not. And that's it.
That's terrific. Well, Murray, it has been such a pleasure having you with us in the studio today. I like to ask all of my guests here on Chic Perspectives for one chic tip that's really made a big difference in their life, in their career. What's your chic tip to share with our listeners today?
Well, it's something that I talk about in the book, and that is smile is your greatest accessory.
Excellent. I love that. And I hope every one of you is wearing one of those right now. This is Elizabeth Gordon. We are going to wrap up this episode of Chic Perspectives. I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. Again, our guest has been Murray Guiano. I'm probably butchering that again. I'm so sorry. I am definitely going to bone up on the book and the whole art of savoir-faire, because I love Murray's philosophy of women, work, and the art of savoir-faire. So check out the book. Is there a website also that people should look at?
Yes, there are actually two websites, MireilleGiuliano.com and FrenchWomanDon'tGetFat.com.
All right.
They're both free.
Excellent. Well, we can't wait to hear more about your chic success. Good luck in all of your media tours and safe travels back to New York.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right. We're wrapping up the show. Thanks again for joining us. Check out more episodes of Chic Perspectives at chicentrepreneur.com. Until next time, wishing you all chic success.